My name is Harry Dean Stanton, and you're listening to Humbug Radio. That's canny, that is, though, but...
You've tuned in to the eponymous Phil and Woody show on Humbug Radio. I'm the eponymous Woody, and I'm joined, today honoured, to be in the company of the wonderful Phil Cornwall, a man with a thousand voices, though sadly he only uses the one.
Yay!
Hey, how are we, Philip?
Little Woody! Hoyas! Ah, that was great. He's here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Try the veal. Right, anyway. Yes. How are you? Taller, aren't you?
Well, I've been stretched to my very, very limits, yeah. Like you are.
You're looking good on it.
Hey, thank you very
much. You're looking very, very good on it. Slightly out of proportion.
Don't let the old man in, that's what I say.
Tell you something else. Yeah. Can I tell you something else?
Yeah, go on.
That I'm a bit worried about coming back. This idea that you do it again.
Yeah.
I'm good. Because when I'll be like, nah, I'm good. Yeah.
What if you came back as something else, though? Do you want to come back?
But that's worrying, isn't it?
Well, I don't know.
I'm worried about that. That's what worries me. The afterlife. What are you talking about?
What do you want to come back as, though? If you could come back as
I'd like to come back as a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
Preferably.
Yeah.
A really great big one. No, but I've got to... No, but it does genuinely frighten me, the idea of coming back. It's like, oh, what, really? You know, you're just settling into this nice little kip, you know, this big eternal kip. And you come back as something else or someone else,
as
and you're back
dolphin.
In all this again. What? You're in all this, the noise, the smells, the colours. Oh. I've done it, I've got it, I get it, it's good. Mind you, it is miraculous life, isn't it? Hello, Woody.
Hello,
what's
Phil.
All this about cheese?
Well, I've got... You and I go back a long time. We used to do the Saturday morning telly, didn't we? And I used to do this character.
We did.
I used to do a character that used to like cheese. And so one day this thing came up in the news that there was this 200-year-old cheese for sale at Sotheby's. And they sent me up in character and I went up and I bid on the cheese. And this is my claim to fame. I own the world's most expensive bit of cheese. I bought it. Wasn't my money, to be fair. It was because it was tight. It's like the size of a dice. And it's 200-year-old yak cheese from Tibet. I don't know why. It was in the auction because they were auctioning a load of stuff off. I genuinely own the world's most expensive bit of cheese.
Yeah, hang on.
Who would have thought it?
I like that. I'm getting some images coming through now.
Yeah.
It was a yak from Tibet that made that cheese.
Well, I think it was a bloke. The cheesemaker would have made it, but the yak produced it 200 years ago.
Yeah, the yak would have done the first bit. Well, you would have got the stuff out of the yak.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Are you talking about udders? Yak udders?
I don't know what a yak actually
but
is.
But it must have udders. How do you get yak cheese? You've got to come
How
through some
How do you get dog's cheese? Very difficult.
The dogs
at this
don't
time.
Have udders.
You can get chihuahua cheese. And if you don't believe me, look it up.
No, they probably do have udders, actually. Udder bits underneath udder.
I kid you not, there is such a thing as chihuahua cheese. But it's not from the chihuahua dog. It's from the town of Chihuahua, isn't it?
In Mexico. But yeah. Listen, I am still genuinely interested in the yak cheese. First of all, the size of the bit you've got. It's not very big. Don't sound like a very big
it's
bit.
It's like a cube of
It's a
dice.
Cube. Like, is it, right. And you do... You haven't eaten any of it. I mean, of course, you're not going to do that, are you?
No, well, I'll give you a quick suck.
Did you smell it?
Yeah.
You what?
I sucked it.
Oh, no, I didn't. I need to go.
But no, the thing was, is the thing, in those days, you wore your
you
cheese.
You are at the limit.
You wore your cheese as a necklace. If you were out in the Himalayas, you couldn't walk around with half a pound of cheddar in your pocket, you'd wear it like a necklace, so you'd have these little cubes of hard cheese.
Is that really true?
It's true.
But the people
I don't know
Tibet.
If it's actually true, but I thought it was true. It sounds plausible.
It does.
And then you'd pick a bit off and suck it. Sorry, I knocked me mic.
Oh, no, I've done that a few times. That's good. It keeps it organic. People know it's real.
I was miming sucking a piece of hard 200-year-old
yak cheese from Tibet.
And I knocked the mic. I do apologise,
wrong book, wrong book valley, sir. Wrong book glacier. The wrong book monastery. North face of Everest. It's underneath the towering edifice that is the north face. You know, which is the hardest route up Everest, basically. But I'd like to go to the Rongbuk Monastery. Will there be a man there with some yak cheese? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the eponymous Phil and Woody show. And we're just talking about things that really matter. So listen. Right. Now, Woody, I want to know about your phobias. Have you got any?
Well, as I've got older, I've started to become a little bit superstitious. And it becomes really, really irritating. I can't look at magpies without saying, hello, Mr. Magpie.
How's your family?
How's your kids? How's your wife? How's your kids? The trouble is that actually, whilst a lot of wild birds are dying out, magpies are thriving.
Oh, no, incredible.
So
I cannot
walk down the street without stopping every few minutes and going, and people look at me and wonder what the hell I'm doing. But if I don't do it, it really upsets me.
I know, isn't that funny? Those fears, those superstitions.
Nothing else.
That's obsessive compulsive behaviour.
Yeah.
And is it? We all suffer. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think, well, you could label it that.
Yeah.
But the thing about the pies, yeah, maggot pies, they used to call them, didn't they? That's a crow, you see. There's one of your corvidae family, isn't it, you see?
Oh,
that's one of your corvidae. What you got? You got your chuffs. You got your alpine chuff.
Yeah.
You got ravens, the king and queen of your crows. Yeah. You got your carrion crow. You got your hooded crow. You got your rook. Which is, people go, oh, there's a crow. Not a crow, it's a rook. He's got a grey beak. Do you know about rooks?
Does a bit.
Because you know about crows, you know about birds.
Don't make another superstition thing, I beg you.
Oh, sorry. Oh, you're not into crows?
What, with my feet?
I'm John Thor, and you're listening to the eponymous Phil and Woody show on Humbug Radio. Shut up!
I tell you what, it's nice to see you dressed up for the occasion.
Oh,
today.
No, I thought I would.
Yeah.
I thought I'd make
not
an effort.
Not very often we see a big
in a
baggy,
suit.
Baggy pants and a fright wig.
No.
Lovely.
No, not nowadays.
Fright wig.
Well, but I think you'll find I can carry it off.
What happened to a fright wig? Where did you get yours from?
Well, and yeah.
If you want to frighten children. Do we all know what a fright wig is? Do you remember Coco the Clown back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
And he had an orange wig. And he could somehow make it go up.
Oh, of course, it used to flap up and down.
Flap up
it?
Like that dinosaur in Jurassic Park when it gets into the car with the with the bad guy and its frills go like that.
Oh, that's scary.
I used to frighten the life out of me.
Oh, God, that's. Yeah. Anyway, look.
Take it off.
I will take it off.
Now, how have you been?
I'll just put it down there. Just saying, there you go. Yeah. I've taken it off now.
Right. How have you been?
Well, how have I been? Well, I've been, I've kind of been different, you know. I've been in lots of, you know, different sort of modes and, you know, things come, things go, you know. Oh, sorry. Anyway, you weren't fishing for some sort of anecdote, were you?
Well, I was sort of teeing you up for something.
Oh, teeing me up? No. For a story you've never heard before.
No, I don't know what you're going to say, so I just thought I'd ask you how you were.
Oh, mate. That story of in the service station in... down it somewhere, was it near Plymouth? I think it might have been getting down that way. We were driving down to, I'm going to tell you what we were driving down to, me and my mate, the Colonel, God rest his soul, who's now departed. My mate Paul, actually, called him the Colonel, and that's a by the by. He used to come with me at gigs and stuff like that years ago. And we went down, we're doing the Steve Wright, was it Steve Wright show? Steve Wright, God rest his soul too.
Yeah.
God bless Steve. Radio 1 road show, you remember then?
Tell us
down
the time,
in Falmouth.
Steve.
Yes, that's right. And I went down all the way down to Falmouth to sort of be on it and all these mad crowd and everything. Anyway, we stopped at the service station. It was nuts. I don't think we'd slept the night before. I'm not sure. We just drove straight down to Falmouth. And we're in the toilet there and there's a nice little soap dish and a nice bar of soap there. And I mean, there's another bloke standing there next to me and he's having a wash and all that stuff. And I've gone up next to him in the basin next to him, picked up the soap, washed my hands and all that. And put the soap back in the soap dish. And my mate, the Colonel, just started absolutely pissing himself laughing because it was this lorry driver. It was his soap in his dish. He had a soap dish.
Because I never saw a soap dish in a service station.
And I didn't ask him or anything, can I borrow your soap, please? I didn't know. I thought it was public soap, mate. And I picked up. And the Colonel could not stop laughing. And neither could I. When he told me what I'd done, And the bloke, I think the bloke just looked at me like totally askance. How can you do that? You've just picked up. Yeah. Anyway, you know, it's not amazing, but it's very funny. Those little things in life are just they are funny. The point, there's a poignancy about all that.
Yeah.
In a way. God, what's happened to your legs?
Oh, that's a completely different. Oh, and the smell.
You're listening to Humbug Radio.
Fanny Craddock. You couldn't invent it, could you?
Yeah.
It was like a what? No, that's not a... Don't do that. Would it? Goodness me. Thank goodness this isn't television.
Sorry. Mate, I can't help it. I literally can't.
You know her husband, Johnny?
Johnny.
I've got one of his books.
Johnny Craddock. Have you?
Yeah.
You,
to make
you
your donuts
look borrowed
like,
it? Often.
Go on, tread all over me punchline. Yeah. I've got one of it. Hey, I've got one of
it.
You did, yeah. And you know it's coming. And you know this, Jack. No. Everybody knows this one.
Sorry.
Right, start again. Fanny Craddock, eh?
Oh,
what about that?
Fanny
That's a thing, wasn't it? And her husband, Johnny Craddock. I've got one of his books. How to Make Your Donuts Look Like Fannies.
My name is Emily Pankhurst. And I have done a lot for the emancipation of women. Not many people know that.
Dive into vinyl heaven at Flashback Records, your go-to destination for rare collectible vinyl, featuring many of those sought-after first pressings and hard-to-find early releases. You can sell us your own vinyl records or your old CDs and DVDs, or you can browse the very latest contemporary vinyl. Explore our online store now at flashback.co.uk. Flashback Records, recycling music since 1997.
Right, I'll tell you something that annoys me.
Yes. What is it, mate? What?
It's people who work in advertising. I'm convinced they are sitting there thinking, look, kind of doing like a kind of one-upmanship. What can we talk the general public into buying now? And they're just going, oh, they'll buy any old rubbish. No, they won't. Yes, they will. They'll buy anything. Honestly, if you could get them to eat out of a bucket, they'd do it. And then they don't KFC do a bucket.
They do.
A bargain bucket.
But it's gaily coloured, though.
Why would you want to eat out of a bucket? Who thought that up? Well, it must have been a junk.
I get where you're coming from there.
To eat out. It was like two advertising guys. And one went, I dare you to get people to eat out of a bucket. You can't do
all
it.
Right.
I'll put 10
all
on
right.
it.
You watch. Yeah.
And he did it.
But I got to say, it is a bucket, but, you know, they've done something with it, to their credit. You got a picture of that nice little old gentleman, that gentleman with the beard and that, who they call Colonel Sanders, you know. And it's red and white. It's got nice colours. So it's not a bad old bucket.
Well, try putting water in it. You go down to the well.
It's not going to take water, would is it?
No. It's a stupid thing, and I've had enough of it.
So technically you're saying it's not a bucket, really, is it?
It's not a bucket, so and really I don't want to eat out of a bucket.
Well, make sure you don't.
Oh, Phil, I've done it again.
Oh, no, what have you done?
Well, there's something that really does get on my nerves. It is she toilets. She lavatories.
When you say that...
I was told not to say toilet in public. She lavatories. You know where it's a little bit overly fancy?
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
my son had his graduation at Brighton Pavilion. In Brighton,
funny
enough. Oh, yeah. And you're all sort of hanging around outside waiting for it to start, and all the mums and dads all proud, all having a drink. And then the bell goes and someone says, you know, it's like 2 minutes to go. So everybody rushes into the toilets because it's going to be a long ceremony and all that kind of stuff. So I went into the toilet and it's very, very she, the gents toilet in Brighton Pavilion. And so, you know, you get different types of urinal, don't you? You get a urinal. Then you get the sort of lower trough on the floor, the old school.
The lower trough.
The lower trough. And then sometimes you get that sort of mid trough.
Yeah.
You know, which is at the sort of the right height.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That. So in this it had a variety there. It had like a sort of trough. Then there was the mid trough.
Mid trough, yes.
And then further down there was the another trough. Okay, but it was absolutely rammed, and I was waiting for. So it's like a picture of wall of backs, you know, like it is at football.
Oh.
Just a wall of men's backs.
Oh, you've gone in there. And it's packed.
I've gone in.
It's
I'm packed. Yeah, and you know, I'm waiting to get onto.
Yeah,
because
you're going to see your son. Yeah.
Yeah, and so a little space comes available in the mid trough. Okay.
Oh,
so,
right. Okay, mate.
Yeah. So I nip in, doing my business, as it were, and I thought this water in this froth.
Yeah.
This water in this trough.
Yes.
Is very, very frothy.
Oh, that's why you said froth there.
Froth, yeah. Because I was thinking that I'm picturing it, the froth. So I'm having a wee, and I look round, and this is so embarrassing. I can't tell you.
No, come on, man.
It was the sink.
No, oh come on!
It was a fancy she sink, and I'm
hang on.
In the sink.
Hang on a minute!
What do you do? I was halfway through.
Oh, was it?
When I realised, I thought, shall I carry on and brave it through?
Are you serious? You're not making it up for comic effect.
I'm not making it up.
I don't think you are.
Oh,
are you?
Hang on, how
did you make that? Well,
thinking about it.
That's quite an error of judgment, but
well, the
I get it.
Standing next to me, oh my god! He
gave
me a filthy look.
Hang on, wait, were the taps on this?
No, it was like some sort of funny tap, and I just thought it was just sort of constantly flushing.
Yes,
there was
sure.
So many people.
No, fair enough.
Oh, the shame!
Hey,
what?
Woody. Do you know you can listen to Humbug Radio, right? This is what we're on.
We're on Humbug Radio right now.
What you can listen to on the app.
Oh,
there's an app, right? You can get an app, so you can hear it like in the, you can hear it when you're in your motor.
Yeah.
And
on your phone.
On your phone.
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff.
On your laptop.
And
or your app-top.
And that, you know about Alexa, don't you? All you got to say is like, play Humbug Radio, Alexa. Up it comes. Isn't it amazing that you can do that sort of thing nowadays?
Well, so what you're basically saying...
What am I saying, yeah?
You're saying that wherever you are...
Yes.
We're going to be there.
We're going to be... Well, yeah, you could put it like
that,
but that was...
Get away from us.
Yeah, but it's a bit sinister, I thought. I was a little bit too
it.
Sinister.
I
well, I know you
like
did.
That.
That's what worries me. No, I knew that. I knew you meant it. That's why I'm going.
You're listening to Humbug Radio and the eponymous Fulham Woody Show, and you'll never guess what... The Tottenham Hotspur manager himself, Ange Postecoglou, has come to join us. Ange, how's it going? You must be so pleased with the way things are going at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say in the first half
I
thought Dom Solanke, he had quite a few entrances into the forward 50 and took quite a lot of good marks, but his set shots were not... hang on a minute, that's Aussie rules. Sorry, I forgot about that. I love Carlton. I'm a Carlton fan. Spurs? What's the use? They've all tried. Mourinho. No. Espirito. Santo. And I think it's fair to say, Jose Mourinho. And what can you do with Spurs, mate? Hopeless.
Radio is a powerful selling medium. A playground for the imagination where every jingle and slogan can find its way into the hearts and minds of its listeners. And advertising on Humbug Radio is a lot more cost-effective than you might think. We can help your business to shine bright without dimming your budget. To learn more, email us studio@humbugradio.com.
I went to the doctors
the
other day because I've been having a bit of trouble with my ankle. And... he was fiddling about with it. He's fiddling about the ankle, and he said, "What, you know, what's wrong with your foot?" And I said, "Well, I've got a bad ankle, but it started off when I'm standing up, or when I'm sitting down, it feels like my sock's gone to sleep." And he looked, and I could see blank face. He didn't know what I was talking about, and I didn't think anything at the time, but it obviously troubled me because I went into work and said, "You know, the phrase." My sock's gone to sleep. Does that mean anything to you? And literally nobody... No, do you know what it is?
No.
My sock's gone to sleep?
No.
I'm starting to think that my mum made that up. What it means is my sock has slid. You know, the elastic's gone at the top. You know when you're
and
it slides down.
That.
It slides down your shoe. My sock's gone to slip. It's a lovely phrase.
It is.
I think
it
actually
is. Yeah.
I think I've been using it for years, so people must think the man's an idiot.
I've not heard that one. I have to be honest.
If anybody's listening and they've heard the phrase, your socks have gone to sleep, please let us know, because otherwise I feel such a fool. You're listening to Humbug Radio in the eponymous Phil and Woody show. Phil.
You're listening?
I am listening.
Very Roger Moore there.
You're listening to...
Right.
He was a lovely bloke. So, I worked with Roger Moore. I don't know. I started going at Mike McKay then. I've got a tape somewhere of me and Roger Moore doing Michael Caine impressions. But anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, like it.
I wanted to say to you, last night I was watching one of the repeats of Dad's Army.
That's always interesting.
What? Do you know they made 80 episodes of that? It's
80? That many?
80. Yeah, because it's still repeated now,
isn't it? Never would have guessed that. I wouldn't have said 80.
Well, it's not been off the telly ever, is it? I don't know.
It's still on a loop. It's on a loop.
It's on a loop. And do you know why that's so timeless? Well, this is in my opinion. I think that's timeless because of the perfect casting. Now, one of the things about comedy shows, as we both know, you've got to get it right.
Yeah.
And it's all about the writing has to be good, but the casting has to be better. Now, I wanted to ask you, and I'm going to give you a list in a minute, who is the best cast comedy character historically in British television? Now, here's your list. And you can join in at home if you want to. And I want the top two. Basil Fawlty, Captain Mannering, Albert Steptoe, if you remember him, out there in the audience. Alan Partridge, Norman Stanley Fletcher, still repeated today.
Yeah.
Rigsby off Rising Damp, Hyacinth Bouquet, Frank Spencer, Betty, Vicar of Dibley, Rick from The Young Ones, Margot Ledbetter, or David Brent. Now, between the two of us, I want to come up with the top two.
I've got another one that's been missed out there.
Yeah.
Rowan Atkinson's Blackadder.
Blackadder. Perfect.
You know,
We
could lengthen
Perfect.
The list. No, it is, isn't it?
Perfect. Casting.
Of course, Mr. Bean, too, I think. But Blackadder was very funny.
Blackadder was a bit. I mean, I know Mr. Bean was universally loved.
Incredible.
But
incredible, really.
I still think Blackadder is better, and it's cleverer.
Yes, anyway, so there's another couple. Out of those, right, mate.
Yeah.
Basil, of course, has got to be right up there. Basil,
yeah.
Basil Fawlty, just how perfect that was.
Believable.
We're talking about the character here, not necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
It was beautifully written.
Well, the casting.
But the casting in that character for him.
Nobody else could have done. Nobody.
No. No, and Del Boy, of course.
Del Boy, I didn't put him in.
No, well, mate, you could put loads of people in, couldn't you? But
I don't know if you can. The list that we've got now are probably the top of the crop, aren't they?
They are. They're standouts. Yeah. There's no question about that. And there's not one I disagree with there.
But
actually,
what's your top? What's your top one?
Oh, it's Basil.
Is it
Basil top, but followed by Partridge?
Really? Now mine is Basil as well. That's my top one. I don't think there's ever been bettered. And I will go Captain Mannering.
Yeah.
Because when they cast Dad's Army, did you know, or they say, that originally John Le Mesurier was going to play Captain Mannering and Arthur Lowe was going to play Wilson. And they swapped it at the last minute. And luckily they did, because I think that casting is what's keeping it on the telly today.
Do you think so? Yes, you know, because it's 50 years, isn't it? Plus old, 50 plus, but it still stands up. You think the quality of it? What's the appeal?
I mean, it's
what's the appeal at its heart? What is it? The great character actors.
It's the character. The
why is it still on? You know,
the believability of the characters.
Yes, it must be.
The believability.
It must be. I mean,
that play. They used to be better at it in those days, I've got to say. Sorry, young people, if you're listening, but it's true that they could play pathos and comedy at the same time.
Yeah.
Which was very clever.
That's right. Yeah, the best ones. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, let's go with Basil Fawlty at the top, at number one. And at number two, You're going to go with...
I'm going to go with Partridge. But it's subjective.
And I'll go with Captain Mannering. So there you go. There you go, listeners. If you think different, let us know.
Get in contact with us at studio@humbugradio.com. If you want to write in, don't complain.
Yeah, Woody, have you been up the football recently?
Well, I don't get up there as much as
you
I
don't
used
get up the football
to.
Now.
No, I used to. I had my own little seat up there.
Are you talking about Highbury?
I do go back to Highbury.
No. When the Highbury Stadium, when you played
right.
there,
yeah,
where
yeah.
did you sit?
At Highbury, I'm mostly yeah. in the family enclosure, but up at the Emirates, I was up the North Bank with all.
Yeah,
the
I'm a bit mates. Funny about because it, is it the North Bank? It's not really because it's in the round, isn't it?
Well, we have a clock end.
But it's not really the clock end, is it? And they just
well,
got to take
an
that
end.
Clock.
You've got to give it, they, call it something, haven't you?
Is it an end? But it's a circular. It keeps going. Anyway, there used to be a rubbish dump on that
That's
site
right,
called
Ashburton Grove. Yeah,
and of course they built a stadium on there.
Right, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it just sounds like I'm having a go.
No.
But I'm not. It sounds like I'm having a go, am
it's
I? I wouldn't have a go.
Site.
Yeah. Woolwich, you know, that's the thing. You moved up from there in 1919. No, you didn't, 1913.
I didn't.
And you didn't, but your football team, they were called Woolwich Arsenal.
Yeah.
And they bribed their way up into the top flight, and they've never been down since. And they never actually got promoted properly. But, you know, we won't go into that.
Just because Spurs didn't get the London Stadium.
I'd have loved that.
Of course, the other thing that you're on quite a lot is Alan Partridge, isn't it? What's your name, Dave?
Dave Clifton. Now, go on.
No,
I was going to say, see, that's an amazing little gig, that one, in a way.
We've been doing that for 20 years.
Plus. Yeah. The first series was 97. It was I'm Alan Partridge, the first... After Knowing Me, Knowing You, it was I'm Alan Partridge, which was set in a motel, you know. And that was my first series that I did with him, doing the sort of handovers. And the gig was, I mean, I went in and saw Steve. I knew Steve anyway from like a few years earlier when he was really sort of just starting out. And he came to see me. He didn't come to see me, but he was in the audience for this series called Don't Quote Me. It was with Jeffrey Perkins as the host, and it was a sort of higher brow, sort of a Channel 4 game quiz show type thing. Steve was there with his long hair and all that at the bar afterwards. I remember him sort of coming up to me. So we'll go for a drink sometime. and I always remember that. It was so sweet. And
was he doing his James Stewart impression then?
Yeah. James Stewart. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, what he just did there.
So's pedals. We can get on a plane and we can fly from here. We can go.
Now, wait a minute here.
Steve Coogan, we've digressed. Steve Coogan came up to you.
What he did there, you can't coach it. What he did there, you can't. You wouldn't want to, and you can't. No, Steve, I went to the... Yeah, years later. No, and of course, he started to become really successful. We performed together on stage in 1993 in a... Amnesty International benefit, and we both did impressions, and we were on stage together doing I think the Mick Jagger brothers and Harold Steptoe and Albert Steptoe, me and him doing that, which was weird, which was odd, and we had to introduce Spinal Tap, which was fun. Like, here they are, yeah, Spinal Tap, what are they called again, and all that. And that's an odd little bit of telly, that, me and Coogan.
So you used to be Rob Brydon before, I suppose, in that way.
It was funny, and then he got me in for Partridge to interview for that. I mean, to do Dave Clifton, and they said, well, you know, because I just did a sort of Tony Blackburn thing like that, you know, because Tony Blackburn, and I do all that, and they liked it, and it fit the character really, that desperate sort of emptiness, which is covered up by this kind of bonhomie. Okay, you know, so it worked. So I did it for years, and. Even did the film as well, and now you're here on Humbug Radio.
Yeah,
things haven't been going too well, mate, as I imagine. But you know, it's quite good to get your gear out, isn't it, Woody?
Yeah, I am, and I'm going to put one on. Oh, Phil, I'm sorry to say that it's like all good things.
You might be sorry.
It's come to an end.
I'm happy.
We're out of time. Have you said everything you need to say?
No, but I'll tell you what.
Can
come later.
Yeah, we'll do it all again another time.
Yeah, we will, and I'll look forward.
Say bye-bye then.
Da-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. You've been listening to the eponymous Phil & Woody Show on Humbug Radio. It was a Bleach production. Humbug Radio.